Well, we're back after a tremendous week of college football, and we'll get into that in just a minute. I just walked into the studio here, and the obituaries for the local newspaper are sitting on the desk. Is that a bad omen for us, Sears?
No, it's one of John Ed and Doug's good friend's wives passed away, and they read the obituary on air and gave her a little bit of a tribute on the Saturday morning go-around, and which you can listen to on WJOX 690 AM, Saturdays from 7 to 10.
Well, I mean, what an incredible week it was in the SEC, and I mean, there's so many different directions we can go. But
you want to talk about the Georgia implosion?
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about the game that we spent about, I think I timed it, 11 minutes of our last week's podcast. Alabama, Florida, what was your take?
The turning point to me was when Florida's kicker got injured with back spasms on Thursday and did not make the trip because Urban did not trust his kicker enough to hit about a 19-yard field goal to tie it 3-3 and instead decided to go with the jump pass that everybody and their brother knew was going to be attempted. Bama defended it perfectly, went on. It was a 14-point swing. Bama ends up scoring, touchdown, going up 10-0, never looking back. That was the turning point of the game.
In front of 101,821 fans, and Sears and I were two of those, at Bryant-Denny Stadium the other night, Alabama won the game 31-6. And, you know, I got a question. Urban Meyer deciding, he drove down the field, had a very successful opening drive of the game as far as his offense is concerned. They went down the field, had first and goal from about the three, I believe.
I think so.
And then proceeded to have three plays that didn't go anywhere. And then on fourth down, he had Trey Burton come in as the quarterback, very effective, scored five touchdowns the week previous against Kentucky, and tried a jump pass, and it was intercepted by Alabama in the end zone. I think, to me, that was the biggest, and Nick Saban said after the game, the biggest momentum changer in the game, because, first of all, he's trying to make somebody he's not, Trey Burton into Tim Tebow. That's just not going to happen. And second of all, why not take the 3 points and tie the game?
It was just a very bad decision right there. You got to go back to that. It was an inexperienced kicker and holder, and that's why he didn't trust it. It was an extreme angle because it was from the right hash, so that would have been an extreme angle kick. But kickers spend a lot of time in practice making those things. And he should have known that the points were going to be a premium in this game. Instead, he ends up, instead of giving out, I guess he was thinking, if we don't get it, Alabama will be on the two.
Right.
Not that, oh, we're going to throw an interception, Alabama will take over on the 20.
That was the absolute worst thing that could have happened to Florida.
Nico Johnson coming through.
Except
big.
For a pick six.
I mean.
Which happened later on.
That did. C.J. Mosley, he's a beast. I do think Alabama's defense is starting to become a lot like the Dallas Cowboys of the 70s, where they bend but don't break. What, they have three red zone forced turnovers for the Gators?
I think so.
And they were able.
And, of course, the pick six.
The pick six. So, four turnovers for the Gators. They had a couple of errors on judgment. I don't know if Julio just lost that in the lights or if he thought that was going to go out of bounds.
Yeah.
And that ended up setting up Florida's first three. But, I mean.
Well, and Florida's offense, too, it came in 78th in the nation in total offense. Florida is struggling to find a first down anywhere. They need to have a meeting of the minds. Steve Adazio, the offensive coordinator, is getting a lot of flack this week for he's gotten a lot of flack every week this year for the job he's doing, the plays he's calling. I mean, John Brantley's not Tim Tebow. He doesn't need to be running all over the place. And Trey Burton, maybe he has the same physical ability as Tim Tebow, but he's not there yet.
He's not built like Tebow. Yeah. Tebow is about 250. Burton's only 220.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to be able to take the pounding consistently that Tebow took. Also, As Kelly Kitchens pointed out to me when he was talking to me yesterday.
A huge Florida fan.
Huge Florida fan.
Been on this program a couple times.
Alabama's proposed weakness is their secondary. Why would you not attack them and throw the ball down the field the entire time? Because they were doing a great job. I mean, there were a ton of breakdowns in coverage for the secondary. But they'd go away from it and then try to do a run.
They try to run dimps.
And then, yeah. Dimps, I think his longest carry was 10 yards.
Yeah, no, Alabama really did a nice job.
I think they held him to 79 yards rushing total.
Absolutely.
And the defense, when they got inside the 10-yard line, just hunkered down.
Well,
Darius was able to get great penetration when Brantley had the bad handoff that came into a fumble that Lester just ripped away from him. That was due to Darius penetrating underneath the center and getting a hold of his foot, causing him to trip, and the ball just rolls out. I mean, the defense was able to stop when they needed to stop, and they looked good. Alabama's offense scores three touchdowns on their first four possessions and scored points on their first four possessions. So their offense looked great. And then I don't know if they were just trying to play conservative or if Florida's defense adjusted and just became that dominant in the second half. But I think Bama ran a total of before their final 4 minute drive to end the game. I think they had maybe eight plays in the second half before that final drive. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
Bama's defense was out there. My dad kept saying, there's no way they're going to be able to stop them. They're going to be too tired.
Mm-hmm.
But they came through when they needed to, and they were just running on, I think, pure adrenaline right there. So they stepped up when they needed to. The defense is starting to come together. I think they will continue to get better each week, leading the nation with only giving up 9 points a game.
Right. Yeah, no, scoring defense has
now,
been.
Now, yardage given up, they're giving up a ton of yardage. But you know what? They're only giving up 9 points a game.
And that's all in the end that really matters. Alabama remains number one in both polls. Almost.
Should be unanimous.
Yeah, almost unanimous in the Associated Press.
How can you not give them your first place vote?
I don't know.
The dominating performance they gave, yes. The thing that really gets me, though, how can Arkansas still be behind Florida when Arkansas took Bama to the limit?
That's a good point.
And I think in the coaches' poll, Florida is ahead of Arkansas. I think in the AP poll.
12 and 13 in the coaches' poll. In the AP poll, Arkansas is 11.
Florida's 14th, I think.
Correct.
But the coaches, I mean, come on. Arkansas, with Mallett just having a brain fart there at the end with throwing those two picks.
Mm-hmm.
But we may find out that Arkansas is probably the second best team in the SEC.
Well, we may. And I would not be surprised at all after seeing them play that they look very talented after watching their game closely last weekend. Let's move on to the next game, I guess, of
the
major
mess
note.
Of less.
Well, I mean, this game, it was supposed to be a blowout. I predicted, and you did as well, last week on the show.
You said 21-20. You were off by two.
1 point, and you predicted very close as well.
I said 21-17.
So, you know, it played out exactly like I thought. However,
really?
I was...
Really? You thought they'd have the ball on the one with 30 seconds and only run one play?
Absolutely.
And if it weren't for T. Bob Hebert, mm-hmm. which I love that name, Bobby Hebert's son, being alert and seeing, oh, crap, there's 3 seconds. I need to get the ball off.
He needs to be SEC Offensive Player of the Year for that play. What an intelligent play made by, of all
lineman.
Positions, a center.
Offensive linemen, they're some of your smartest players on the field. Never doubt that.
But, I mean, let's talk about Les Miles for a second. And you know, we were talking before the show. Les Miles has had fortune fall into his lap, or maybe, should I say, his hat, a few times. Too many for a coach. I mean, how
2007.
When is this guy's rope going to run out?
2007. He throws what should have been a he's got a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Decides I'm going to do an end zone shot. The receiver manages to catch it with 1 second left on the game to beat Auburn.
Yeah,
5 for 5 on fourth down against Florida for the game winning drive.
Right.
Ends up getting two losses, but then you have the Oklahoma implosion from the Big 12, the West Virginia implosion. You've got all these teams that just start losing and allow them to move back up. And then the game happens to be in New Orleans,
yeah.
where, you know, LSU fans will get any ticket they can get.
I didn't.
Then this year, North Carolina's tight end drops two balls in the end zone. They've got Bill Stewart and Les Miles with the battle of wit in the Death Valley there.
Maybe we could put Steve Adazio in on that.
That would be the best. But Bill Stewart and Les go head-to-head. Les has absolutely mm-hmm. no offense against West Virginia, yet
right.
still manages to win because his defense and Chavis is just destroying everybody. Then this, the ineptitude, you get a delay of game, you get a timeout out of the delay of game, and then you get the ball down to the one with 30 seconds left, so you're thinking, you know,
yeah.
we're going to be able to. You change quarterbacks from the guy that got you down to the one with Jarrett Jefferson, who is horrible. Not just bad, horrible.
Oh, Jefferson?
Yes.
Okay.
Lee, I'll give him, he's had some interception issues, but he's right. he's been the more consistent of the two. Then
I think he did a decent job managing the game.
Then you luck out with your stupidity of switching out packages to bring in new personnel that causes Tennessee to bring in new personnel, who then the Tennessee players get confused, like, oh, no, I should be on there. They end up with 13 players on the field.
It was absolutely utter
and
chaos.
And then the referee doesn't call T-Bob Hebert spiking his helmet while the play is still going on, which should
I don't necessarily think that was the wrong call in the situation. He could have called it. No, don't get me wrong.
He should have called it, though,
but
because the play was still live.
But the play was believed to be over, though.
The play was still live, and that would have put them back farther. It would have been a dead ball penalty. So you would have had the illegal participation, which would have given half the distance to the goal. Then you would have got the 15-yard personal foul, which would have put it back on the 16. Now, who knows what would have happened if LSU was on the 16? We could have seen 85 laterals for a 16-yard touchdown, well, which I would not doubt.
No, not at all.
But, I mean, he has so much luck.
The Tigers are 12th in the Associated Press.
I love how they dropped.
In the coaches poll, yeah. Well, I mean, I think deservedly so. And credit goes to Derek Dooley. A little bit for having his team prepared to play a big game in Baton Rouge, physically or talent-wise, a team that is much inferior to LSU's Tennessee, and he had them ready to go.
The thing that keeps coming to mind for me is Derek Dooley is Mike Shula. He can get him close, but he can't get him over the hump.
Well, now, wait just a minute, though, David. I mean, you're talking about a guy in his first year. I mean, Nick Saban had games. He had, what was it, all of his games his first year here at Alabama, he lost by 7 points. So, first years, I think you can give a pass. He lost them all.
Similarities. They both have legendary fathers for coaches. They've kind of struggled at their other jobs. And just saying.
I don't think Mike Shula was a lawyer.
No. Derek can at least fall back on his law skills if need be.
Right. Okay, so LSU ends up winning that game 16-14 in a Baton Rouge. Well, another debacle, and this is a little bit more serious. Colorado 29, Georgia 27. Georgia goes to the mountains of Colorado to play a mediocre Colorado team, and they cannot stop them.
Driving for the victory, they get the fumble-itis, and they fumble the ball with 2 minutes left.
Now, was Jimmy Johns, was he carrying the football?
No, it was not Jimmy Johns. But it's got Washon Ealy carrying the ball. So you're supposedly best running back, and he fumbles it while you're in field goal range. More or less, you were just owning Colorado at that point. You were doing whatever you wanted offensively.
Right.
And you could have possibly got a touchdown. But no, you fumble the ball. It just baffles the mind.
Well, it does. And Mark Richt has spent his debt in Athens. And I think by the end of the season, people will be ready to finally get rid of him. And even Riders, who said that he could go 2-9 and still be the coach at Georgia next year. I think, you know, comments like that are obviously not, you're not being intellectually honest with yourself if you say stuff like that. But, yeah, his time is coming. It is coming, and it's coming quickly. And if he continues to lay eggs against mediocre, I mean, let's look at the rest of their schedule. Georgia has Tennessee. That's a toss-up game.
I'm picking Tennessee in that.
Yeah, I would too, if they play like they did
last
week.
Georgia's the favorite somehow. How in the world is Georgia the favorite over Tennessee?
Well, they're at home, I guess.
Maybe. But I think it's like a 7.5-point favorite.
Well, you know, I don't know. Vanderbilt at home, at Kentucky, at Florida, Idaho State, at Auburn and Georgia Tech. One of those, I think, is a sure win.
Idaho State's the only one. That's a FCS school.
So they could go 2-10, as David Pollack
said. Wow.
And then we can see if his that would actually come true. But, no, Mark Richt, I think he's already lost everything. The only thing that could save him now, and I said this before the season, and I think a lot of people are with me on this, if he goes into Jacksonville and beats what looks like a vulnerable Florida team.
I say he needs to gut the staff. And I'm not talking just one coach. I'm saying he needs to just bring in new blood completely.
Well, that's what Tommy Tuberville tried, and it didn't work.
No, Tommy kept a lot of those people. That he kept basically the same offensive staff, got to bring a new coordinator, and the offensive staff wouldn't pay attention to the offensive coordinator.
Well, true, but if you do that though, David, aren't you? I mean,
that's
your.
I mean, that's basically your desperation.
Yourself?
That's your desperation move.
I know, but aren't you just? I mean, isn't that incriminating against yourself?
It is, but you know, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right, and he could try that, and he needs to do something. Obviously, something is not what he's doing now is not working in Georgia. Do you think he gets fired at the end of the season?
If he doesn't, I'd be shocked. Because we definitely see at least 4 losses left on the schedule, if not more.
Auburn won 52-3 over Louisiana Monroe, and you know we talk a lot about wins like this, and yeah.
The only way this would have been big news is if Cam Newton got injured or if Auburn had struggled.
No, it means nothing. But I will say this, and I didn't realize this until last night. I was looking over the stats. Cam Newton is second in the nation in passing efficiency. He's 57 of 87 for 928 yards with 12 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. So, you know, as much as Cam Newton's getting knocked because he's one-dimensional, and if teams would just step up and stop him from running, then they would have success. Well, with these numbers, it looks like he can actually be a threat through the air, and that was evident against them. I understand it was Louisiana Monroe, but still the passes are the passes, and he did a good job.
We'll see. We'll learn a lot about Auburn this week. It's another tough road test. They struggled on the road at Starkville. Kentucky has a decent offense. Their defense is very susceptible to anything, as we saw against Florida. But who knows? This will be a big test for Auburn. If they pass this test, they will have their two toughest games outside of Alabama at home with Arkansas and LSU coming there. So they're going to have a lot of things to go for them. And LSU, though, they have a great defense but no offense. So if Auburn can score 12 points, they'll probably win the game.
Yeah.
Arkansas will test out that Auburn secondary, and we'll see how good that Auburn secondary goes.
That's the game I'm really looking forward to.
Auburn secondary looks very vulnerable to a deep pass. Now, will Arkansas's offensive line provide enough protection for Mallett? We'll see. And that's down the road.
That's next week, and it'll most likely be on CBS, even though it hasn't been announced. Take it from me. It's going to most likely be on CBS. Mississippi State, 49-16 over Alcorn State. Nothing you can say. Nothing you can say about that. Another win as they try to contend for bowl eligibility this year. This is the one that really surprised me because I picked before the season them to win, meaning the SEC team in this contest. 40-21, Connecticut all over Vanderbilt.
It's the Big East's second biggest win of the year over an FBS opponent. That's right, Buffalo and Vanderbilt, their two marquee wins. So we'll see. I mean, Vanderbilt's still Vandy. We can dress them up. You can put a pig in a dress, but it's still a pig.
Yeah, that's true. And I meant to mention a minute ago, Auburn is eighth in both polls, so they are in the top 10 and working their way toward that matchup. You know, I know we've got a number of weeks in between now and then.
You can never start too early with hype for Iron Bowl 1-2.
Could it be? I mean, that would be mega, to say the very least.
1-2 in the Iron Bowl. We've said it. It's going to happen.
What? It's been reported on BuntSports.com that is going to happen.
Well, I know we're mainly an SEC talk, but let's go a little farther west.
Okay.
Pacific Northwest, to be specific. Let's talk about those Oregon Ducks. That offense looks very impressive. Their defense is suspect. I was following Andy Staples today on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Oregon's defense is giving up, less yardage per play than Alabama's defense. But Alabama's only giving up 9 points a game, while Oregon's giving up 15 points a game.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. There's a lot of talk right now, a lot of people saying it's going to be Oregon, Alabama, and Arizona. Oregon jumps Boise in both polls, number 3.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Great move, by the way.
Ohio State looks very vulnerable.
Where are you, Tim Brando?
Ohio State looks very vulnerable. Pryor's got a quad injury. Tressel says he is going to play this week. But this Indiana team, they took Michigan to the limit. Now.
Yeah, they did. But
Michigan has no
defense. Yeah.
But you never know. Crazy things happen.
That's
why they
play the
game.
This is going to be a great game. Again, we're going to preview on Thursday, but this is going to be a great game between Michigan and Michigan State.
Game Bay's got it wrong 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
Game Bay should have been at Alabama last week, and they should be in Ann Arbor this week.
I totally agree. I think that's the game I'm most looking forward to seeing this week. And plus, I love that rivalry. I think it's unique.
It's a shame. Is it a night game or is it a 3:30 kickoff?
Not sure. We'll have to bring that out on Thursday.
Because I know Florida State Miami is going to be a 7 p.m. kickoff here, but I would rather watch that. Plus, you got another interesting thing we can preview. You've got two high powered offenses going at it in College Station, Texas, with Arkansas versus A&M. That should be a good matchup to watch as well.
Arkansas's BCS hopes, or whatever hopes they want to contend for, are on the line.
It's going to be a very fun game to watch. You've got Texas A&M coming off that heartbreaking loss where Gerard Johnson had 5 turnovers that ended up this too much for them to overcome, and Okie State getting that field goal to win 38-35. It's going to be a lot of fun in that game. If you like offense, I'd watch that game.
Yeah.
If you want to see a hard-hitting physical football game, I'd watch that Alabama-South Carolina game. But again, that stuff we're going to get into on Thursday on BunnSports.com.
I can't wait. Great promo, David Sears, for myself, Jacob Bunn. Again, this is just we're going to redo the format of this show, and this is part one this week, and we will see you in a couple days.